So what is the message? It's Epiphany, remembering the visit of the Magi to Jesus, Mary, and Joseph. Little tidbits in the story, they were in a house, so it wasn't, you know, the beginning, although biblical scholarship wonders out loud, where was Jesus really born? Was it in a house? The manger would have been on the first level while the people lived upstairs, but the guest room was occupied, so they had to live with the family. That's where the baby was born. All kinds of stuff like that. But there's a lot of things that could be message in this. Let me tell you some of them that it isn't. One of the messages that isn't in the story is how many of the Magi there were. The Bible doesn't say. Tradition says there were three, and some of the reasons for that number are the three gifts that they brought. They brought gold, frankincense, and myrrh, or the reference to the three kingdoms, or the kingdoms of the three kings in Psalm 72, another reading we could have done today, and also in Isaiah 49 and Isaiah 60. But in Psalm 72 it says, "May the kings of Tarshish and of the isles render him tribute. May the kings of Sheba and Seba bring gifts." Three kingdoms, three kings. We've even got names for some of them, but those names come after. It's just not in the Bible, so we really don't know for sure what they were. They're known as kings, wise men, magi. What word do we get from magi in English? Magic, magician. They were astrologers. They did kind of amazing things. Yes, they were wise, but they probably weren't rulers somewhere. They were astrologers who followed the stars. The best we can recollect, the best that the scholars can look at, is these magi were followers of an ancient religion called Zervanism. It's got an all-encompassing creator, Zervan, and the good and evil deities, Ahura Mazda and Ahriman. And the Magi who followed this religion, Zervanism, looked to the stars as a guide. So they were excellent astrologers, and they didn't follow any of the accepted religious practices of the Bible-writing people. They're not from that history. Isaiah 49. "Thus says the Lord, the Redeemer of Israel and his Holy One, to one deeply despised, abhorred by the nations, the slave of rulers, kings shall see and stand up, princes, and they shall prostrate themselves because of the Lord who is faithful, the Holy One of Israel who has chosen you." Isaiah 60, "Foreigners shall build up your walls, and their kings shall minister to you, for in my wrath I struck you down, but in my favor I have mercy on you." These are the kings kind of mentioned in there. So what they were, who they were, here's the names, ready? The Magi aren't named in the Bible, but we've got some possibilities. They've got Caspar, Balthazar, and Melchior, most common. Maybe you've read a story about it. Do you remember those names? In the Catholic Church, it comes up a lot, and in other churches too. But there's also, those are from the 6th and 8th century texts from Egypt and Syria, but there's some other traditions that call them Hor, Karsuden, and Bazanatar. That's in Ethiopia. Can't even say some of these. Kagba, a really long word, Badadakarida, and Badadalim Ilma. That's from the Armenian custom. Don't know who they were, the Bible doesn't say, but we've got lots of traditions that say what their names may have been. The message probably isn't even from where they were. They were from Persia, what we now call Iran. Marco Polo claimed to have seen their tombs near Tehran in the 1200s. So they weren't from far, far away, but according to the custom of the land, far, far away was more than a day's journey, so there they were, Persia, Iran. The message probably isn't even in the star of Bethlehem. I mean, was it an actual star? Was it a planetary alignment? Maybe a cloud? disappearing or a clouding, maybe a disappearance of a star or a planet from sight. Was the whole star thing a reference to another Bible thing? We've got that in Numbers 24. I see him, but not now. I behold him, but not near. A star shall come out of Jacob, and a scepter shall rise out of Israel. It shall crush the borderlands of Moab and the territory of the Shethites. Maybe it's from there. And we don't really know that. I've seen the planetarium's description of the Star of Bethlehem, and we've probably heard stories about it, that it was this magical star that arose. No one really knows. There was something bright in the sky, and the astrologers followed it. I don't think the timing of when they arrived is really significant. The Bible says they came to a house, no stable. Scholars think it was as long as 2 years after Jesus was born that the Magi arrived. There's a darkness in this story, too, and I don't know if that's central to the message. It is central to part of the message, the darkness being that the Magi came to Herod. Herod said, oh, yeah, go and see him, and so that I can worship, too. And Herod had another plan that's not in the reading here, and it was to get rid of all the babies who were 2 years old or younger so that this new king couldn't ever become king. That's why Mary, Joseph, and Jesus had to go to Egypt. If you were here Christmas Eve, I talked about that part. Mary, Joseph, and Jesus, who were refugees in Egypt. The gifts are probably not central to the message. Bible says they brought gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And over time, these gifts have become symbolic of Jesus' royalty. That's gold. Jesus as God, incense. Incense encompasses the deity in our song there. And Jesus' death and resurrection, myrrh. The description of the gifts themselves might be related to some more in Isaiah 60. A lot of stuff in there. A multitude of camels shall cover you, the young camels of Midian and Ephah. All those from Sheba shall come. They shall bring gold and frankincense and shall proclaim the praise of the Lord. The bringing of gifts to Jesus was, it wasn't like an act of giving charity. It was an act to honor royalty. Instead of the Magi coming in power to help this poor family, they came worshiping and giving honor and glory to a new king. Something like that can reframe your thoughts about charity and giving. Helping anyone to realize that giving to others should never be about power, but rather about honor and respect. And that's a great message to learn from the visit of the Magi, but it's probably not the central message of the passage. We should explore that more, though, maybe ongoing. So what is the message? All right, here we go. The message is that these visitors from another land, another culture, and another religion recognized Jesus. And before we jump right in and say, well, of course, everyone should recognize Jesus. The Magi did. Why doesn't everyone open their eyes and see Jesus and become followers of Jesus? I think we should focus in a different direction. And that is internally. We, the church, do we recognize Jesus? We don't have a baby in Bethlehem or in Nazareth or in Egypt to visit. How can we see Jesus? Matthew 25:40. And the king will answer them, truly I tell you, just as you did it to one of the least of these who are members of my family, you did it to me. There were strangers in this morning's Bible reading. They came from far off. They brought gifts. They followed the stars. They weren't part of any part of the Christian narrative or the Hebrew narrative. They weren't part of that story, but they just arrived here, strangers. And they saw Jesus' face. They reached out in love to a people who were not theirs. So how do we reach out to others in love? At St. Paul's, we're committed to being a caring community of Christ, a people of prayer and action, and a beacon of hope, justice, and peace. How do we reach out to others in love? Well, that way. It's got to be this underlying cause for all of it. What shall we do when we rewrite and vote on a new constitution? Well, how are we living out love, and how does it fit in with all of that? What shall we do when we're talking about carpeting that someone's going to trip on someday, and pews that are very narrow, and we're trying to figure out how we're going to sit down and how this is all going to work, and redecorating? Well, how does it fit into the narrative of living out love? And we can't just say, oh, well, you know, this is just building, we can't do anything with that, because keeping a building up and making sure things work okay and having people not trip and having people be able to sit okay, that's living out love. Having a constitution that reflects who we are, that is living out love. And I know it's business and everything like that, and we have to figure our way through that. But the message of the Bible, the message of the wise men coming, the message of Jesus is about reaching out to others in love. And I know that we fail at it. I know that we fail when we put other things on top of what love is supposed to be. We fail to live out love with people we're angry with, right? All the time. We fail to live out love with people we're estranged from. With people we wish would just keep their opinions to themselves. With people that we really want to be kind around or kind to, but we just can't seem to do it. It's too hard. Or we fail to live out love for ourselves when we forget to step back from all of it and just breathe. We do fail. But I'm not interested in this morning's sermon leaving you with a feeling of failure or anger. Those are realities. We fail when we do those things. But the good news is that when we fail, we get to turn around and keep moving ahead. So, let's continue that journey in the new year. Let's spend time living out love. Let's spend energy being a people of peace and kindness. Let's notice and honor and respect and recognize the humanity, not just in us gathered here, but us, the global us. Let's be a people who look around and recognize Jesus, just like the Magi who followed the star. Amen.